free. He was. I am.
Good morning, Hope Church. How you doing today? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, will you? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. Good to see you. You know, did you hopefully had a great time this past Sunday and this week being Easter and Resurrection Day? I want to start off and say Happy Resurrection Day again. All right? And the reason I want to say that is because as I was preparing, this came upon my heart. Too many times we can have the celebration of Easter behind us. But the truth is, the power of the resurrection and what that represents is still with us. Right. It's still with us. So almost any day you could say Happy Resurrection Day. Right. Amen. Amen. And so today we're going to talk a little more about that and what that represents and can and should represent in our life as children of God. Regardless of where you've come from, good morning, regardless of what you've been dealing with, what you've struggled with or in victory with, either area of life that you're in, I'm telling you that in Jesus, the best is yet to come, and we're not going to get stuck. We're not going to stay. God's continued and called us to keep walking. That's why the Bible says it's a walk of faith. Can I get an amen? It's not a stand and plan and never move and go anywhere. It's been the same way for 50 years. Well, do something about it. I'm telling you, that's what we talked about, that the power of God is giving you authority over the enemy. Don't let him be a bully in your life. Let's do something. Let's do what God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. And watch the amazing things flourish and grow in your life. The Bible says those who are planted in the house of God, they're going to flourish in the courts of God. That God wants you to flourish. God wants you to grow. God wants you to be, you could say it this, since we went down the plant area, God wants you to be an aroma, your life to be a fragrance of his goodness, the Bible tells us, in a way that captivates the attentions of people wherever you go. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For surely goodness and mercy will follow you. That doesn't mean it's ever going to catch up with you. Because it said, goodness and mercy is going to catch up with me today. That's not what it said. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Yes. You know what that means? Not that it's trying to catch you, but you already have it. Yeah. And wherever you leave a trail. Yes. Not of destruction, right. Not of heartache, right. Not of brokenness, right. Not of drama. You know somebody like that? You can see where they've been. Just look where all the shattered pieces of life are. Oh, they must have been here. I mean, some people, they're just toxic. You love them, but sometimes you have to love them from afar. Because not everybody can you bring into your inner circle, even though they might even be related to you. You love them from afar. Why? Because God's called us to love them, but you can't allow yourself to be polluted by them. If they want to change, praise God. But if they don't, you'll pray for them as you keep moving. Surely goodness and mercy will follow. Wherever you have been, it can be seen by those who come behind you, by the goodness your life has left. The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Some preach by fear, and that'll reach some. Some preach by the goodness, and that'll reach others. And I'm telling you, it's good to know the Lord. And when you have a relationship, a real relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion. I call that man-created rules to get to God. It won't happen. I'm not into check all the boxes and you have to do. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ that is birthed in your heart from that revelation of what Jesus does, calls this conversion experience of salvation. It will change you on the inside. Too many people thought they had it all figured out, and they practiced on the outside to look the part, talk the part, act the part, but on the inside, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said that you look the part, but on the inside, you are dead men's bones, which means there's no life. That's not what God has for you. He wants you to have life on the inside. He wants you to have peace on the inside. He wants you to have joy, for the joy of the Lord is your strength on the inside. He wants you to have his love on the inside. inside. It's not I'm trying to get along with everybody. No, he wants that to be flowing out of you. It's not I'm trying to love people. He wants his love to flow out of you. Can I get an amen? Jesus said, come to me, and there'll be rivers of living water that'll spring out of you. This talking about the Holy Spirit. He wants the presence of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's love. That starts with love, and it keeps going on to a lot of good stuff, which we don't have enough time to talk about today. But challenge everything I say with the Word of God. And God wants to start on the inside and flow out of you life, goodness, joy, peace, to the point that people that run into you, bump into you, what is going on? I got to figure out what they have. I'm telling you, all Elijah had to do was just bump into Elisha. And Elisha, it caught and captivated his attention, his thoughts, and the busyness of his job. And he said, wait a minute, I just bumped into somebody that's different than anybody else I've ever bumped into. I speak that over your life, that when people run into you, talk to you, bump into you, that they'll walk away and say, wait a minute, I just bumped into somebody different than anybody I have ever met, anybody else I've ever talked to. Something is different, and it's going to be the anointing of God, the presence of God in your life, flowing through your life. I decree prophetically over your life that wherever you go, you are a fragrance of the goodness of God, that when you step into a room, the climate changes for the better in the name of Jesus. The climate changes for the better in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, even if you step into a room with drama and spiritual craziness, the moment you walk into darkness, you are the light. You are the light. You are a light, and you bring a change. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Wherever you go, we'll know. People will know. As it was with Jesus, so it be with you today, in Jesus' name. As it was with Jesus, so it be. I mean, wherever he went, people were drawn to him. Why? Because they had bumped into somebody. They had heard somebody. They had seen somebody that they did not have any point of reference. Who is this person? They all didn't get it, but that's okay. They all came because they knew something was different. Did you hear me? Something. I bless you in the name of Jesus that you're going to be the difference maker in your family, your neighborhood, your world, wherever you go. You are the difference maker in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bless you today. Woo! Well, praise God. I haven't even started on my notes yet, but we're just hanging out and having fun. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're sitting around saying, well, I've tried, I've come to the end of my wits and the end of myself, I can't get it done, just celebrate. You're in a good place. Because everything you've done is dead, it's not working. Now let's talk about resurrection, what God can do, what God can do, what God can do in your life in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's areas in my life that I need God to do something that's way beyond me. What you're believing for, what you're praying for, what if it's all within the boundaries of what you can achieve, then praise God for discipline, praise God for good mentors, praise God for good ideas, praise God for good plans. But if every prayer that you have can be answered in the confines and boundaries of those things, that you're not praying big enough, you're not believing strong enough, you need to have some things that even on your best day and your most disciplined year and with the greatest advisors, you still can't get it done. But God's birthed an idea in you, a desire for something so great that you know, God, I'll do everything you want me to do. I'll give it my best. But I want you to know that I realize that without you, it's not going to happen. And Abraham, the Bible tells us, Romans 4, Abraham so had confidence, fully persuaded. Why? Because he didn't consider his own body now dead, 100 years old plus, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, that the God who made the promise to you, that the God who made the promise is well able to bring it to pass in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, there's preaching in the gospel, and there's power in that preaching. There is power in the preaching of the cross, and it just doesn't start with a Easter celebration. It should continue and resonate in every area of our lives. Wherever you go, under the obedience of your Father, you're bringing life to where there used to be death. Matthew 25, now we can get into our first verse. Matthew 25 says this, and when Jesus, notice this, here he is on the cross, when Jesus cried out again, now don't read ahead of me, you're so eager, you're reading ahead. It's not cliff notes, you stick with me, we'll get there, don't worry. Some of you are like little kids in the back seat, are we there yet? Just sit there and I'll tell you when we get there. It's all going to be good when we get there. You're going to love Disney when we get there, but you just. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Now notice this next verse. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Let me talk about that for a second. When Jesus cried out and gave up his spirit, he died. At that moment, in the temple, there was a curtain. Now, if you're not familiar with this, there was a curtain, a thick, tall curtain that covered the entrance into the Shekinah glory, the most holy place. It was a place that only the high priest once a year could go into, and he would offer up the blood of a sacrificed lamb for the sins of the people on the mercy seat. It was a very unique space. It wasn't big, but in there was the mercy seat. In there was the Ark of the Covenant. And in there, besides these natural things, there was the glory of God. Yeah. Not to go into detail, search this out. It's a great study. In the outer court, they had the natural sun. They could see. And certain priests operated with what they could see that was provided by the natural sun. They operated. The sun came up, they could see. When the sun came up, they couldn't control the sun. But when the sun was up, they could see. And when they could see, they could do what they were supposed to. When the sun went down, time was up. They had no control. They were passive in their time frame. Then their inner court, they didn't have any natural sun. They had to work off the candles. So when there was no natural sun, if they wanted to see, they had to light up the candle. And by the light of the candle, they could see. And when they were in the light of the candle, they could see, they could do what they were supposed to do. If the candle went out, they'd have to relight it. They couldn't relight it, they'd be in the dark. But it was all based on what light they could bring to the room. But in the most holy place, there was no natural sun and there was no man-made light. There was the only light that came from the glory of God. They had to operate in darkness until there was an illumination that only could come from God, the presence of God. And in that room, they would go and offer the sacrifice. And if there was sin in their life, they would drop dead. But if God, there wasn't and God accepted them, then the sins of the people for a year. Told you this is a pretty interesting study. There's a lot of stuff here. For a whole year, the sins of the people had been forgiven. Are you ready? And so there was a large curtain that separated the people. The presence of God, the glory, manifested the presence of God on the inside. The Ark of the Covenant was on the inside. Remember that ark that they built, representing the mercy seat that truly is in heaven? And in that ark, it was more than just worship. I mean, they found out in the Old Testament, wherever the ark was. Did you ever see the Indiana Jones movie? Don't you just want to tell them, don't open the ark? Man, that was a bad scene, right? I mean, if you didn't see it, don't worry about it. It's so old now. It's like, it probably wouldn't even be good anymore. Have you ever watched an old movie thinking it's going to be great? And you're like, really? But in its day, it was a cool movie, was it not? And that's the way it was. Wherever the ark went, it brought the power of God and would defeat the enemies. It was not only the presence of God, it was the power of God. It was not only the presence of God, it was the power of God. In fact, one army just had figured out that Israel kept winning, and they knew that, hey, it's because the ark is with them. Man, if they weren't too scared of the army by themselves, but when they knew the ark was with them, they knew God was with them, and when God was with them, they knew they were in trouble. See, when the enemy knows that the presence of God is with you, he knows he's not scared of you. But he's scared of you when you come with the presence of God in your life. He's scared of you when the power of God is in your life. Can I get an amen? In fact, they thought that was such an amazing weapon that they tried to steal it, and they put it in their temple of worship next to their god. Do you remember that story? And they got up in the morning and came to worship, and all of a sudden, their god was knocked over. Oh, that's not a good deal when your god gets knocked over. Hear me, that's a bad day. And so they propped him up, came back the next day, knocked over again. Propped him up. You know, these fake gods can only be propped up so many times. And then eventually, come on somebody, and eventually it came in one morning, and not only was it knocked down at the foot, of, you could say, of the Ark of the Covenant, but the Bible says its head was cut off. What do you do with that? You look at it and say, I don't know who did it, but I don't want to touch this one, right? Because no other god can stand next to your God. And when Jesus cried out and gave up the ghost, immediately that curtain from top to bottom ripped in half, demonstrating the idea that the presence of God was no longer going to be confined within the confines of a tent that only one person once a year could come in, but the presence of God would come into the believers, to every person that was saved. You are the temple of the Most High God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, individually and corporately. You are the place that resides in you, the presence of God, the power of God, and that's a big deal, my friend, even if you don't realize it. That's a big deal. Even if you've heard it 1,000 times and you've grown up in church and said, what has it done for me? It's still a big deal. You might not know how to access that. You might not have the realization of what that represents, but it's a big deal. Say it's a big deal. Find 2 or 3 people, say it's a big deal. Notice, so the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Ooh, see, if it was a person trying to tear it, it was so thick they couldn't, but they at least start at the bottom. Not saying it was me, just letting you know. The earth shook and the rock split. I love Psalms. It talks about that the voice of God is thunderous, is mighty, is powerful, is glorious. His presence melts mountains. Rocks shake at his voice. Don't take my word for it. Search it out. You'll be glad you did. In fact, it says in one Psalms, I'm not going to tell you where, you search it out. In one Psalms, it said that when Israel was approaching the Red Sea saw them and got out of their way. I think it's about high time that wherever you go, that even the natural elements recognize the glory of God, the presence of God on the inside of you. And when they see you coming, they just get out of their way. Don't mess with them. There's something different about that person. Quiet down, quiet down. We haven't got to our point yet. We're still moving. Okay. Verse 50. I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time this morning? We have 2 minutes and 57 seconds left to have a good time, so we're going to move quick. And I'm only at the first verse. And we got 3 services to do. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. All right, verse 52. And the tombs broke open. A lot of people haven't heard this. The curtain was rent in half. Rocks are shaking, and tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. I'm telling you, you see, you know, I didn't know that. The resurrection and the power of the cross. Again, 1 Corinthians tells us, 1:18, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who believe, it is the power of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, it is so much power that it opened up tombs that was holding back holy men and women of God. And I decree over your life today that whatever has imprisoned you, put you in a tomb, and has confined you in a grave in any area of your life, I command it to be opened by the word of the Most High God as we preach the cross and him crucified. Are you with me? That the power of God would begin to open in your life today. Things that you thought were shut up, dead, and no access. I speak over your career. I speak over your marriage. I speak over your health. I speak over your finances. I speak over your peace. I speak over your joy. And I call everything that has blocked up the flow of God's life be removed out of your way. Graves were opened up. And people begin to experience life. Notice, next verse. They came out of the tomb. See, they didn't stay there. I'm telling you what God's about to do in your life. He doesn't want you to keep it to yourself. He doesn't want you to say, "Woo, I had a miracle, and I'm just going to enjoy for the moment and then get back to normal life." No, he wants you to come out of that tomb. He doesn't want you to say, "Wow, that was great. Let me go back to my routine that took me back to that place before. Ah, Jesus delivered me from alcoholism. Now I can go back to partying." That's the dumbest thing you'll hear all day, right? God doesn't deliver you so you go back to the tomb. God doesn't do something so you can go back to where you used to live. God doesn't, he doesn't bring his power in your life and resurrect and bring the rest of your power in different areas, in all areas of your life, so that you go back thinking the way you used to think, talking the way you used to talk, making decisions the way you used to make decisions, living the way you used to live. No, when his life comes and his power comes, he's calling you out of the tomb in Jesus' name. Out of the tomb in Jesus' name. That little compromise that you didn't think was a big deal, inch by inch. The devil doesn't work on feet. He works by inches. And you found yourself one day in places that you never thought you would be, and then God forgives you. He delivers you. Don't go back to that pattern of, "Let's see how much I can get close to the world and still be saved." Well, I know people that try to get close to Jesus, and they got fanatic. Fanatic's not weird. Weird people are weird. They just use Christianity to validate their weirdness. They were weird before they got saved, and Jesus is working that weirdness out of them. Being fanatic doesn't mean be weird. It means be real and quit trying to see how close to sin you can get that God accepts and start saying, "God, I'm turning my back on that, and I want to live for you with everything on the inside of me, with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. I'll love you and serve you." Come out of the tomb in the name of Jesus. Come out of the tomb in the name of Jesus. Come out of the tomb in the name of Jesus. They came out of the tomb. Guess what? And went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Come out of the tomb and start shining. Come out of the tomb and start talking. Come out of the tomb and start inviting. Come out of the tomb and start reaching people. Come out of the tomb and start sharing what God's doing. Not to everybody. See, we start without having full wisdom, and we'll grab everybody and tell them our story. Your story's not for everybody. The Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine, which means don't cast that which is precious to you to the people that disregard it as nothing. Well, who should I share? Let the Lord show you how to share it. Let the Lord bring those right people into your life. I mean, this whole thing with the Tag by God wristbands is a great exercise of being open for God to create the moments. Why? It's simple. It's easy. It doesn't cost you anything, but it positions you to learn, because in the rhythm of life, God didn't call you to everybody, but he's called you to somebody, and it's being sensitive to the somebodies that you will have your greatest success. Because the moment God has that encounter for you to reach out to somebody, the devil will make sure that you'll run into 10 nobodies. So that by the time the somebody shows up, you'll look and say, "I've tried 10 times. Why should I try one more time?" He's deceitful. He'll get you to try on the wrong. He'll get you to swing at the bad pitches. So when the right pitch shows up, you're like, "I'm not swinging because I've missed the first 10. Well, in baseball, it'd be the first two. But you know what I'm saying. Why? You'd be open. God has somebody. And I'm telling you, more than one somebody. More than one somebody. More than just one person. I'm telling you, what God can do through your life, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to impact the world. And if you're called to full-time ministry, wonderful. But you don't have to be called to full-time ministry to impact your world. You just have to be available. You just have to be open for God to show you the somebody that he's bringing into your life. They came out of the tomb, and they begin to talk and appear to other people. How does it happen? We don't have time to read the verse, but the Bible tells us, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, that when Jesus cried out again, this time he wasn't on the cross, this time he's on the outside of a tomb. And he cried out to the person on the inside of the tomb. Think about how crazy that sounds. See, some of you might be sitting there saying, why is he speaking over my life? That sounds crazy. It might sound foolish to you, but not any more foolish than a man standing outside of a grave talking to a dead person. And Jesus called out to Lazarus. He cried out to Lazarus, the man in the tomb. And when Jesus cried out, Lazarus, guess what? He responded. They didn't drag him out. He came out. He wasn't all ready. He wasn't fixed up. You don't have to wait till you get perfect to respond. He was still all tied up, and he's trying to get out, and he needed people's help to get fixed. But I'm telling you, don't let anything that's holding you back keep you out from responding. He responded where he was at, in the condition he was at, and his response, he brought life into his life. What do we need to do? We just need to respond to what Jesus speaks into our life. When he cries out, just respond. Amen. James says it this way. Faith without works, which means brings no change. When you respond, if you respond. Martha and Mary, Jesus said before that tomb situation. Didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see. Now move the stone. Oh, we can't move the stone. Didn't I tell you, if you believe, see, if you believe, you're going to do something. If you believe, you'll do something that'll look practical and sometimes look stupid because it won't make sense to the way you see it, but you're seeing from your view, not God's view. And he said, it don't make sense to move the stone, but if you move the stone in obedience to my instruction, I'm going to do what you can't do, and you're going to see me demonstrate my glory. Amen. Respond. Obey to sometimes the most subtle directions that God gives you. Have you ever had someone on your heart and later, I mean, all day, you keep thinking about them, and all day you're like, oh, no. I mean, sometimes God will place someone on your heart several times. Pick up the phone and call them. Pick up the phone. That's old school, isn't it? Just grab your phone. Hit the button on your car. Call. Yeah, I mean, whatever you do. Yeah, I mean, just make the contact. Text them. There you go. Inbox them. Instant message them. Help me, Jesus. It's amazing how sometimes the subtle, small things that don't seem to be significant become very significant to the process of God using you to make a difference. I'm telling you, happy Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day. Because Easter is just not an event to be celebrated in your past. It's still, the resurrection life of God is still with us, even today. And we're way out of time. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.